This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to LabCast. Today's episode is the second of a two-part conversation between venture partner Firas Raouf and Justin Pyre, Director of Content and Communities at Mimecast. Now, part one focused on the importance of capital efficiency at the expansion stage and some strategies for achieving that. Now, part two, the conversation shifts a little bit towards finding the right balance between capital efficiency and business growth for early and expansion stage technology companies. Here's Firas and Justin.
So, you know, the other side of the coin, maybe we can talk a little bit about is, there is a school of thought out there that says it's not all about capital efficiency, it's about growth. And therefore, you know, if you're pursuing growth, you may sacrifice some of your efficiencies, sacrifice some of your cash flow in order to really hit the accelerator and try to get higher growth. And what we always talk about in that aspect is if you're going to do that, make sure that you're doing it in a very methodical and analytical way to understand whether or not you've really dialed in the best efficiency in your sales and marketing so that as you pour more money into it, it's actually returning an efficient return rather than really spinning your wheels as you pour more money into it. So any thoughts on that?
I mean, that's absolutely spot on. I mean, most people go for investment for the wrong reasons. You know, they go for investment because they're not profitable and they're not making money. So they think by pouring more money in, I'll get myself to profitability. So that's the fallacy of getting investment. And I, you know, when I was an inexperienced entrepreneur, I did that. And, you know, you learn the lessons that are associated with that. You know, if you have a scalable and efficient customer acquisition process, I think you'd be foolish not to, fuel the Ferrari. In the UK, we have a car called, in Europe, we have a car called the Yugo, or a Skoda that's got a bad reputation. I don't know if you've got the similar, I don't know what your similar type of vehicle is. But, you know, if you've got a Yugo, then fueling the Yugo isn't going to have the same effect as fueling the Ferrari in terms of your acceleration. And if you've got a really, really long and expensive customer acquisition process, then you shouldn't be fueling the Yugo at that point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think the analogy of the car is a very good one. You know, the one I use is why put a turbo engine in a car that's stuck in an off-road muddy road when that engine is really designed for a car to be running very fast on asphalt. And so figure out how to get the car out of the mud first before you stick a more powerful engine onto it. And and really, money doesn't solve that problem. The only way to dial in the most efficiency in your distribution model is to roll up the sleeves, have the right metrics, and go through some continuous improvements to get to those efficiencies. And the problem with throwing money at it is money equates additional bodies, additional salespeople, which increases the complexity of managing people rather than really focusing on the complexity of the process. And so
it adds additional pressure, doesn't it? You know, if you've suddenly got a board of investors or directors that are expecting results, and typically the outputs they're looking for aren't actually the necessary outputs to solve that process. They're measuring different things. They're measuring profitability and growth. What actually you need to be measuring is learning and solving your issues. So actually, from my perspective, unless your investors are aligned with that approach, like they think you've got a good team, a good market, you just need runway, which typically they're not, then money isn't going to solve that problem. In fact, money is probably going to make that problem worse. You know, they're likely to. They want to. You know, instead of having a 2-liter turbocharged four-wheel drive. You know, they'll want you to fit a V8 to your four-wheel drive, and then you really will be spinning your wheels.
And then the other place that I think is somewhat neglected in some cases that we talked, that referred to earlier, is the existing customers. And I think one of the things that always struck me is that it's so much easier to sell more to existing customers than it is to acquire new customers. And that then drives a lot of innovation and thought around what to offer existing customers. Are you in a model where you are landing an account with a small number of users and then expanding within the organization across different divisions, different groups? Or should you be thinking about creating new products and services to sell to the same users? Any thoughts on that?
So I'm not entirely sure. I mean, this sounds like a complicated construct. I mean, the learn and expand process is absolutely lovely. And I think given the choice, I would definitely go for a learn and expand type of business model, where the business gets more value as the number of users expands. But from day one user can get value from it. A great example of that is say Dropbox. So, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I've certainly experienced this, that people, people send you files over Dropbox, and then you start sending files, and the network grows, and you get more value from having the network, but also the software has actually sold itself into the enterprise without the enterprise actually going through a sales process.
Yeah, I mean, I love those models, and I think for that kind of viral distribution, you really need to have a very simple offering and a very simple method for actually starting to use the service. We run into, if you look at some of our portfolio companies, for example, AtTask, which is a SaaS-based project management solution that competes with SharePoint and other, Microsoft Project and other sort of more enterprise-centric project management solutions. It's more complicated. Customer acquisition is more complicated, and once you acquire the customer, the actual work begins, because you have to help the customer actually modify their internal business processes around your product. And so that's the kind of business where a land and expand would be very valuable, but it will not spread virally. And so you really have to start thinking about within your sales organization having an account management function of people who are not hunting new customers, but actually are spending time with existing customers to make sure your product is successful in its first deployment, and then to start working with other groups within the organization to adopt your product over time. And that requires a bit of complexity, but still tends to be somewhat easier than acquiring new customers.
So where I work is one of Europe's largest SaaS companies. We are going to go through, I'm sure, we're going to go through 900,000 users in a short while. From that experience, there's no right answer to that process. Some of our territories have had much more success by not having an account management process, by leaving the accounts with the hunters, but having a customer satisfaction process that sits alongside the hunters to nurture the customers, not in an account management way, but in a satisfaction way. In Europe, we do things process that customers get handed across to once they've been hunted for farming. I mean, to use the sales analogies, which sound horribly crass, but that process also has its pitfalls, because they're not necessarily maybe focused on long-term revenue, but they haven't necessarily got the relationship that's been built up through the hunting process, which can be significant. So I don't feel like there's a one-size-fits-all answer for this, and I think it depends on the personality and the team members you've got. But what you've got to get to is a scalable model where you attract and retain and make your users happy and make sure they get the best out of the product. And I don't think I've got the answers today.
Well, I don't think we're going to crack the code on everything, but at least we've given our listeners some food for thought. Justin, maybe you can point us to your blog where they can read some more about this, and I'll do the same.
Yeah, my blog's at justinperry.com.
Excellent. And on our side, it's openviewlabs.com. So we hope that you will all join us and learn more about what we just talked about. And Justin, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.